have your Bibles this morning, you will notice Matthew 26, that Judas Iscariot was a thief. The Bible calls him that. Said he carried the bag of the money of the 12 disciples. And apparently he stole money out of the bag from time to time. And when Mary had broken her alabaster box and given it all to Jesus in a symbol of total dedication, he was upset. He said it could have been sold for 300 pence, which was a year's wages. It could have been sold for $50,000. It could have been sold for $100,000 and put in the bag. Then he would have had the opportunity to use it subtly. And then he realized that he could sell Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. And so you'll notice the story says, and he said unto them, "What will you give me?" Now, if you'll notice in verse 14, it says he went unto the chief priest. They didn't come to him. And I want you to realize this morning, the word I want you to see is opportunity. I want to just discuss that word with you. It's used five times in Scripture. Right here, it's two original words, a prefix and a word put together. Kairos. Kairos is the word for time. You is the word for good. So he says here, I was looking for a good time to be able to sell Jesus. Notice, if you would, in verse 14, he went unto the chief priest, said unto them, "What will you give me? And I will deliver him to you." And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And notice in verse 16, and from that time he sought opportunity. Now, I want to ask you to seek opportunity in three different ways this morning, but not opportunity to betray the Lord, but opportunity to do something wonderful for him. I want you to notice in this passage, he said, I looked for a time that would be of great opportunity. I looked for a time whenever there would be more people with us than with the 11 disciples. I looked for a time maybe when I could catch Jesus alone. In other words, I sought opportunity. Everybody in this room, we all have opportunities in our life. I think the Lord wants us to seek those opportunities out. And you'll notice in the other passages, that's the very case it is. But there are opportunities that come our way that we're not prepared for. Peter, Jesus is taken captive. He's inside Caiaphas's house and they're judging him. And Peter's outside watching and someone comes up to him and says, "Oh, you were with him." And he had an opportunity to say, "Yes, I was, and he is my Savior." But he said, "I don't know the man." Lost opportunity. Another young lady came up to him and said, "I know you, you were with him." And apparently she was relative of Malchus, the one that got his ear cut off, and Jesus put it back on. And so Jesus, had healed him and said, "Look, we're not going to fight with a sword now. I'm ready to die." And then this young girl looked at Peter and said, "You're with him. I saw you there." Opportunity to identify with Christ. "I don't know him." And then that third time, they said, "Look, you're not like all the other people here. They're telling dirty jokes and cursing, and the soldiers are gambling for his clothing. But you're not like that. Your speech betrays you." He was living a normal Christian life. His life had been cleaned up. He had not cursed, apparently, since he had started walking with Jesus for 3 years. And he had the opportunity of saying, "He is my Savior and I am proud of him." And he began instead took the opportunity to identify with the world. So he began to curse and to swear. And they said, oh, you're not with Christ. I want you to see the opportunities we have this morning. Number one, I want you to notice there's an opportunity to trust Christ. If you have your Bible, turn to Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1. Will you notice this? We're going to look at two or three passages about this very thing, but I want to read this verse to you. The Lord Jesus, notice if you would, in verse 13, he says, bring no more vain oblations. Don't bring me any offerings that are vain with your heart not in it. He said, I cannot, it is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. When you meet in a meeting and your heart's not for me, when you meet in a meeting, he said, look, if you're meeting in that meeting to get close to me, he said, it doesn't work. So notice, if you would, in verse number 18, he said, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they should be red, white as snow, and though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Now, what you notice, he says, look, I want you to come to me. You, come to me. And let us, you and the Lord of heaven, reason together. Talk about it. Now, what he's saying is, look, I want to save you. Look, if you would, take your Bible and turn to Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 15. Hebrews is in the back of your New Testament. Hebrews chapter 3. And in this passage, three times he says, if you'll hear his voice, harden not your heart. Notice, if you would, Hebrews 3, verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Look down in verse number 15. While it is said, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. You'll notice what he's trying to get them to understand. Look, today is the day of salvation. You have an opportunity today. You have a good time today. It is the perfect time today. You're in church. If you are concerned about your soul and you say, I'm not sure that I'm going to heaven today, I'm not positive I'm on my way to heaven. The Lord Jesus said in 1 John chapter 5, these things have I written unto you that believe on the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. One of the great things about being a Christian is being able to lay your head down on your pillow at night and know you're on your way to heaven. You know you don't deserve it, but it was a gift given to you. And the Lord Jesus says, I'll give that gift to anybody that'll come and sit down and reason with me. Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they should be white as snow. Though they be so red, I'll wash them away. I'll change the filthiness of your language and wash all the sins away. I'll take your dirty thoughts and I'll wash them all away. He said, I love you. And that's the reason he says in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7 and verse 15, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Now, what does it mean to harden your heart? Well, if you're here today, and let's just take this as any decision you need to make for Christ. Maybe you need to give him your heart this morning. Maybe you need to surrender something he's asking you to do this morning. Maybe you need to apologize to someone for something that you've done or said and you need to make it right and draw up close to your Lord. You have an opportunity today to do what is right. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. You can harden your heart by, number one, saying, you know, it wasn't that bad. You know, everybody does wrong. All are sinners. I'm not as bad as so-and-so. I'm not as bad as that person. You can compare yourself to other people and make yourself feel better. But you're not reasoning with the Lord. You're reasoning with yourself. And so you have the opportunity of saying, I'm going to reason my way through it so that I don't need Christ. I'm okay. Or you can say, now, if you have your Bible, you can turn to Acts, if you would. Acts, if you would, chapter number 24, and you're going to see, in Acts 24, you're going to see someone that had the opportunity of a lifetime. But he did the second thing. He said, when I have a better opportunity. Notice, Acts 24 and verse number 24. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. So Felix calls for Paul and has his own private church service. And Paul preaches to him the gospel. Jesus loves you. You're a sinner. Jesus died for you. He wants to save you, and he will if you'll repent of your sin and ask him to come to your heart and save you. Now, it's as simple as that, folks. If you're here today, I know there are a lot of people that you've heard, well, you need to get baptized, or you need to take the Lord's Supper, or you need to take the Eucharist, or you need to, you could fill in a million things. You need to do good. You need to change your life. You need to turn over a new leaf. The Lord Jesus said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, period. And it is an opportunity for everybody in this room that doesn't know you're on your way to heaven. Today is a day of opportunity. It's an opportunity. It is a good day. It is a good time. Notice what Felix says in verse 25, and as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled. So he's under great conviction. He's concerned here. Now, I want you to listen to this. He's concerned here. And he says, and he answered, go thy way for this time. Go thy way for right now. And when there is a convenient, a better time, I'll get saved. You know, I'm sure he wouldn't mind. We prayed for Jeanette's brother to be saved. And I remember 26, 28 years ago when he sat right here on this row. An invitation was given and I saw him put his hands on the front of the pew and I saw his knuckles turn white. He was under great conviction. He wanted to come. I could see it on his face, but he was just like Felix. If I could just find a better time. Now, he got saved within the last few weeks. Praise the Lord. But he lost 28 years of opportunity to serve the Lord, to make an eternal difference. Yes, we'll see him in heaven. We'll be in heaven together. And all I'm saying is, here's Felix. He says, when I have a more convenient season. Now, the only problem with that is that we don't know. There's no record that he ever found that convenient season, that better time. As far as we know, he died and went to hell and missed heaven because he put it off. Number one, you can reason you don't need the Lord. You're okay. Number two, I need the Lord, but I need to do it at a better time. This is not the right opportunity. When the Lord said, today, if you hear his voice, come now and let us reason together. Job 22, 21, acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. So the Lord says, today's the day. This is the opportunity of a lifetime. I want you to trust me as Savior. Now, flip over if you would in verse number, just next chapter over, chapter 26. And notice with me, would. Paul again is preaching to King Agrippa. Verse 24. And as he thus spake himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art mad. Thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. And the king knoweth of these things. So he's got Festus and King Agrippa sitting on their thrones, and he's preaching to both of them. It is opportunity time. It is a good time to get this settled. But a good time to get it settled may mean it's an embarrassing time right now. How can I get saved in front of Festus? Festus just mocked you. If I were to trust Christ as my Savior, he would mock me. And many a person has said, no. That's the third choice you have. You can reason through it and say, well, I'm not as bad as so-and-so, and miss your opportunity, the opportunity of a lifetime. You could even take just a moment and say, well, you know, this is not a good time. What would people think? How many of you got saved in church? Would you raise your hand? How many of you had the thought in your mind, what are people going to think? Raise your hand. All over. I had that thought. What would people think? I'm supposed to be a Christian. If I walk forward and trust Christ as my Savior, what would people think? You know, I almost lost the opportunity of a lifetime because I was concerned about what somebody might think. And to the contrary, everybody came up and says, David, we're glad you got it settled. Praise the Lord. But you can say no. Look down, if you would, in verse number 27. And King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? Paul says to King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest the prophets. I know you know what's right. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. But nope, I'm not interested. Lost opportunity. And it may be 28 more years. It may never have another opportunity. Do you know what the Bible says? Titus chapter 2, verse 11. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. So God says, I'm going to bring my salvation grace to you. And maybe it is August the 22nd in 2021. I'm going to bring my salvation grace to you this morning. It is the right time. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. And we say, I don't think I need that. I'm not that bad. What will people think? Let me find a better time. Or, no, I'm not really interested. And you miss the opportunity of a lifetime to get eternal life settled for all eternity. Have an opportunity for salvation. You also have an opportunity to show Christ. All of us do if we've been saved. Take your Bible and notice with me if you would. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 3. If you would, take your Bible, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 3. I want you to notice this. Opportunities, what we're talking about. Notice if you would in verse number 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. We have two missionaries here this morning. God's called them to go to foreign fields and tell people about the Lord. Do you understand? They're getting ready to have an opportunity to tell people that you and I cannot tell. But you and I have opportunities to tell people and to share with people and to show people that they cannot show Christ. Notice if you would, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. How is it hidden? In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. How do we stop the light shining? Do what Peter did. Just curse a little bit. Lose your temper. Be violently opposed to something. Make a big stink about something that is not right. Tell a dirty joke amongst other people. And immediately you've hidden the gospel. You lost an opportunity to shine. Notice what he says in the next verse, verse 6, verse 5. For we preach not ourselves. Notice, but Christ Jesus the Lord. We're not here if you've trusted Christ for ourselves. We're not here to just save more money and get a nicer home and a nice car and put back a 401k. What are you going to do when you're 70, 75, 80 and it's time for the Lord to call you home? Can you look back and say, I lost opportunities. I had the opportunity of a lifetime. Here and here and here and here. Notice what he says in verse 6. For God commanded the light to shine out of darkness. He commands the light to shine out of you and I. We were darkened. We had no chance for heaven. And Jesus came in and saved us and brought the light of the gospel to our hearts. And notice what he says, and hath shined in our hearts. So the gospel has shined into your heart. And he says, I want you to shine. I want people to be able to see Christ in you. Notice what he says. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Look in verse number 6-7. But we have this treasure. What treasure? The light of the gospel in our hearts. In earthen vessels, our physical bodies. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of ourselves. You're here to shine. You're going to go to the grocery store. The other day, I went to the, where, I don't remember where I was exactly, but I went to some store and I bought something, and I used, I think I used the self-checkout, and there's nobody there to be a blessing to. So I went back and took out a tract and gave it to some guy and said, look, I'd like for you to see this. That's the story behind the song. It tells you how to get to heaven. If you have any questions, you call this church on the back and I'll help you with it. Oh, thank you. And he takes it and start looking at it. You know what I did? I checked out and walked out and I said, you know, that guy over there. And I turned and walked back and gave him a tract. Almost opportunity lost. Now, if I could be as diligent as Judas was, he sought opportunity. When can I find a good time to let my light shine? When can I find a good time to let people see Jesus in me? When I'm at work and everybody else is under pressure and I'm going to have the joy of the Lord in my heart. When I'm in school and other kids are struggling with classes and maybe tests and this and that, I'm going to try my best to have a sweet spirit and I'm going to try my best to represent Christ well. Shine! All of us in this room, you have an opportunity to shine this week. But the question is, will you hide the gospel by some pet sin, or will you hide the gospel by not seeking opportunity like Judas did? If Judas could seek opportunity to sell out Jesus, why can't we seek opportunity to let Jesus be known? Why couldn't we seek out opportunity to shine for him? When other people are doing things and saying things, and you and I can be sweet and gracious, it's such a difference that people can say, wow, there's something different there. You know, they're building our new church out at Kinkora. And we got to think about it as a staff. Let's take out lunch for the guys, an opportunity to give them all tracts and to just to let Christ shine through our lives. Let's go out there and try to be a positive blessing. And so I went out and I counted. I went to the wall builders and I said, how many of you are there? He said, there's six of us. I said, okay. And then I saw the graders. I said, and went to the man, to the superintendent. I said, how many of y'all are there? He said, eight of you. I said, so 14, okay. So 14, I'll get the pastoral staff. That makes 18, 19. We'll go out there with 90. We'll get pizzas for 20. So I told the secretary, I said, look, Michelle, would you order 10 pizzas? That's a half a pizza for each guy. That's pretty good, isn't it? Micah, never mind. No, I'm not going to ask Micah. Let's see here. Andrew, can you eat a half pizza? Yeah, but that would probably fill you up, wouldn't it? Well, that's what I thought. So I got these big workers out there, and we ordered these 10 pizzas. And Michelle, being the wise lady that feeds John and other people, she said, do you want to wait to make this final order? I said, oh, no, go ahead and order. I've already counted all the numbers. Well, you know, the opportunity to get free pizza and cold drinks and ice cold watermelon and cookies and pretty soon Better order 12, okay? But order 12 pieces, okay? Wait a minute. Better order 13 or 14. Better order just 15 pizzas, because then it got to be that, well, we're going to be out there that day. We're going to come. And we ended up with 30 people out there. The people from the construction company came. I mean, everybody came. I began to think about it. You know, hey, we have an opportunity the next time. And so I went around to these guys. I said, what do you guys really like? You like pizzas? Oh, we like pizza. We like free pizza. We like pizza. Yeah, we like free pizza. And do you like barbecue? Oh, we love barbecue. So, you know, I want to seek an opportunity as a pastor. I've worked with those kind of guys. You're not going to walk up to them with 30 guys around and say, do you know you're on your way to heaven? Would you like to trust Christ as Savior? You know what they're going to say? They'll say, not right now. They're going to do what Felix did. But Denver Walling, his father died 2 weeks ago. Now his heart's softer. The Lord's working. And if I can just be in the right place at the right time, opportunity. I liked what our missionary said. Look, everything shut down. Well, let's do some videos and just put them out. We don't have good internet, but we can put a video out. Do you understand? If you and I seek opportunity to show Christ, we can. You've got to shine. We all have an opportunity to shine at work, in our neighborhoods. We can shine. I've told you about my neighbors. I have three neighbors on my road. And they can be nice. But this one guy, he is not nice to me ever. Now, Michaela worked for him a little bit and said, he's a nice guy. I didn't see it. I remember one time there was a truck parked, and you know, I try to make my yard look nice as a good testimony. And this guy was parked right there talking to a couple guys, and they parked their truck, and they were fixing to move it. We were talking out in front, and their trucks were still running. He drives up beside me, drives right through the front of my yard. Drives all around. Doesn't even slow down. In Christian love, it wasn't in Christian love. I just had some thoughts that weren't right. And so, you know, when I go down there, I have to seek opportunity. So when I walk, I'll walk down there and say, hi, how you doing? Hey. When he drives by, he drives that white truck like this. He never looks up, never smiles, never waves. But I'm going to seek an opportunity. Hey, we have to work at it. Do you understand? We're trying to keep people from going to hell. We're trying to let people know that Jesus makes an eternal difference. We want to shine. I notice not only is there an opportunity for salvation, an opportunity to shine, but there's an opportunity to sacrifice. If you have your Bible, turn to Galatians chapter 6. Very quickly, Galatians chapter 6. Notice, if you would, in verse 10. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. As we have, therefore, opportunity, let us do good unto all men. Now, look over in chapter 6, verse 1, right at the first of the chapter. Brethren, if a man be overtaken, and this word overtaken means to be overwhelmed. If they're just overwhelmed by, notice what it says, in a fault. This word fault, parapipto, is it's something laid down in front of them. They just trip over it. They trip over it all the time. It could be alcohol. It could be drugs. It could be immorality. They just trip over it all the time. It could be, I want to be noticed. It could be anything like that. It could be, I want people to respect me. And it gets to the point where it's so bad that they want to be noticed that they'll do anything to get noticed. It's a tripping point to them. And he said, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you know, some people just throw themselves into a conversation. They just want to be noticed. He says, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Hey, brother, it's good to have you. Tell us that story. Hey, I'm glad you're here. We take the spiritual heart and try to be a blessing to them. We can see the stumbling block that's there, but we don't address that. We just address their heart and need. We try to restore them. The word restore there is to repair totally. It's as though you found someone that had a broken arm and you put a splint on it and you worked with them until it was healed completely. Now, you want me to tell you something that is? That's a sacrifice. That means you have to go out of your way, not just one time. You may have to call them on the phone. You may have to pray for them. You may have to fast and pray for them. You may have to sacrifice to help them get over that stumbling block, whether it be alcohol or drugs or whatever it might be. You have to help them. You have to love them. Maybe it's somebody in your family. Maybe it's somebody struggling. You can find out about it. Notice he says this, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Look at verse 2. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. When you're praying with someone about a burden that they have, you're bearing their burden. You and I have opportunities all around us. Will we take advantage of them? If you were to sit down and think about it, who is it you could be a blessing to this week? Who is it that you could seek an opportunity to be a blessing? Maybe it's your wife. You could just be a blessing to her. Or your husband. I just want to be a blessing to them. I'm not asking for something from it. I know they're struggling. I know there's a fault in their life. Maybe their job is overwhelming to them. They're overwhelmed. And so maybe I could just be a blessing to them. Honey, what can I do to help you? Is there anything I can do to help? I just want you to know I'm praying for you. Bear ye one another's burdens. You know, Super Bowl 13. I think that's the last time the Cowboys were in it. I don't know, 50 years ago, 100 years ago. But they were playing the Pittsburgh Steelers. And the tight end was named Jackie Smith. He is in the Hall of Fame. He played 15 years for the Cardinals, never made to the Super Bowl. Cowboys signed him on. He's a starting tight end. Dallas is down 21-14. They're at the 15-yard line. It's third down. It's second down, actually. They have an opportunity to score a touchdown, tied up. Sure enough, quarterback rolls out. Jackie Smith goes down the center, turns to the right, gets in the end zone, and he sees him. Busted coverage, nobody around. The opportunity of a lifetime. So the quarterback zips the ball to him. And the commentator said, wow, the man that's caught more passes than anybody on the field. The ball hit him right in the hands. And he dropped it. He had the opportunity of a lifetime. And dropped it. Did you know he's in the Hall of Fame? Over 8,000 yards of completions. But he made one drop. His 13-year-old son was standing there in the locker room. He answered all the questions. Why did you drop it? What a knuckleheaded question. Well, couldn't you have done something to catch it? Did you feel like that you cost your team the Super Bowl? I mean, he answered every question. But then he refused to talk about it for 40 years. Too hurtful. In the Hall of Fame, but he doesn't like to talk about the one missed opportunity. He said, I don't want that to define me. So I decided to look at all the good things that I could do. And he's gotten over it. But he was 40 years over one lost opportunity. You know, all opportunities give you the chance to have an empty spot when you get to heaven. Maybe you take some of your money and you're going to give to missions to help a Jonathan or to help the Pates, somebody like that, and we spend it on a new bike for children. Nothing wrong with a new bike for the children. But we missed opportunity. Have a chance to go on a missions trip. I'm busy. Opportunity lost. You and I probably will never know all the opportunities we missed until we get to heaven. And Jesus takes out the book of our life with every word, thought, and deed written in it. He puts it in the fire. It brings it out of all the things done for Christ. All the opportunities seized upon. We open up that book and there are blank pages, empty spots. What happened there? What happened there? What happened there? There's one thing we can be like Judas in. We can seek opportunity to do good to Christ and not bad to Him. Today, what opportunity is facing you? Salvation? Today, if you hear His voice, you can trust Him. To show Christ? Is there a neighbor? Is there somebody at work? You can just live right. I've told you, I got an uncle. When my father did what he did, my uncle turned his really back on me being able to witness to him. I've been praying for him for probably 40 years. I go down regularly each year and take him lunch and his wife and sit down with him and just talk about how wonderful Christ is, praying one day he'll look at me and say, tell me about him. It's my only hope. I can just shine. You can too. And then you can sacrifice. Maybe there's somebody you need to go the extra mile for. Today, let's seize the opportunities Christ lays before us and not drop the ball and grieve over it for years and years. Let's bow our heads for a prayer this morning. I'm going to ask the pianist to come and play a verse of invitation hymn. Maybe the Lord's put an opportunity in front of your eyes. I want you to come and just pray and say, Lord, help me to take advantage of that opportunity. Lord, please help me to take advantage of the opportunity. We're going to have a word of prayer. We're going to stand to sing. And could I urge you, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, would you make today the great day of your life? Today, if you hear His voice. Lord Jesus, speak to our hearts. Dear Holy Spirit, there's those here this morning that don't know You as Savior. Today, Lord, help them to come and reason with You and trust You as Savior. Father, help us to shine, Lord, and help us to sacrifice whatever the need is that You want us to do, Lord, to help people. Lord, we're here to make a difference. Help us to seize upon our opportunities. In Your name we pray. Amen.